mind, body, family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or in bad, in life or at death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee. May I be born again, even as a worm, so long as I remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as a Brahma, averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. Thakur Bhakti Vinod says, O Kana, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. Mind, body, family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatari. Thank you for coming tonight. I am guessing that there are many alternatives of places to be and things to do. And the New Year's Eve. In the West, it is fashionable to become very much intoxicated on this night. I know in the neighborhood that I grew up in, it was a tradition that all the parents would go out all night long and they would draw lines on their liquor bottles at home to make sure their children did not drink while they were away. So this is quite symbolic. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tat tat evitaro jana. Sri Bhagavad Gita tells us that what leaders do, the common people follow. Obviously, the most influential leaders of young children are their parents. And they are very much concerned that their children do not do what they are doing. But in the neighborhood I lived in, the children would erase the line and draw it a little lower and try to imitate their parents. To become intoxicated is the eternal propensity of the soul. But unfortunately, due to the misguided civilization of today's world, the major population are going in an opposite direction, looking for happiness. But you have all come to the right place. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was the best of all drunkards. Even Jagai and Madhai ultimately had to surrender to him. Jagai and Madhai were very, very excellent drunkards. I don't think anyone could outdrink them. They would be great heroes in today's world. They were literally constantly intoxicated with harsh liquors. Day and night, and always making a bizarre scene of violence. But when they came across Nityananda Prabhu, and they saw how intoxicated he was in love of God through chanting the holy names, and the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness, and the love that was manifested through that totally intoxicated state. Param drishtva nivartate. Jagai and Madhai gave up their liquor forever to taste the sweet nectar of the holy names. And usually, even in this world, people who are miserable drinkers, they drink alone. Huh? People who just drink alone, they're just, or take drugs alone, whatever. They're just utterly frustrated and miserable people. But people who are looking for happiness in drinking, they do it in a social setting with many people around. Walking around and talking and drinking and eating and all these things. And they're thinking they're having enjoyment. And in a material sense, some flickering temporary enjoyment may be there until the next morning comes. Then there is regret. So Nityananda Prabhu also taught us that the most enjoyable way to taste the sweet nectar of the holy names and become intoxicated with ecstatic love is the congregational chanting of the holy names. Chanting in a society of sincere and like-minded devotees who are genuinely aspiring to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Real happiness comes through selfless servitude. Tonight, we have sung this beautiful song by Bhaktivinod Thakur. I'm sorry I did not sing it very well because I don't know it on the harmonium. But just to humble me, Krishna inspired me to do it anyway. But the content of the song is of great significance tonight. It is a song of complete surrender. It is a song of giving of oneself mind, body, wealth, family, everything to Krishna. Marupi rako bijo icha tohar. Krishna, if you want to kill me, kill me. If you want to protect me, then you may protect me. I am your eternal servant. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please. This is a very opposite consciousness of what people generally try to cultivate in this world. People want to be predominators. People want to be proprietors and controllers. But in the spiritual realm of consciousness, it is our aspiration to be predominated by Krishna, to be controlled by Krishna. For those who want to be Purusha, they are given a connection to the material energy or Maya. Everyone within material existence is in this attitude to various degrees of being Purusha, being the enjoyer and the predominator. When we genuinely accept the disposition of being predominated by, then our connection to the higher realm of consciousness, the spiritual world, is established. In this material world, everyone is a Shaktiman. Everyone is trying to be the enjoyer of various energies. But when we make our connection to Krishna, we are Shakti. We are Krishna's energy for his enjoyment. Of course, within this world, all of our propensities to control and to enjoy are frustrated. Because it is an artificial position. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokam maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shantim vichchati. People are speaking about peace. And the more there's conflict, violence, and suffering, the more people seem to talk about peace. Because we're being threatened. We're in a desperate condition. Bhagavad Gita teaches us what is real peace. When we recognize that Krishna is the predominator, he is the proprietor, he is the enjoyer, he is the best well-wishing friend of all living beings. When we accept these simple principles, we can attain everlasting peace. Those who have a lesser understanding of spiritual consciousness, they identify themselves with the slogan or statement, Soham, I am that. But those who have a true understanding of one's constitutional position, they identify as Dasoham. I am the servant of him. The Mayavadis, or the impersonalists, they cannot go beyond the Brahmaloka. They cannot cross into the region of Vaikuntha because they have not yet uncovered the true essence of the soul, which is the spirit of loving service, the absolute truth. We are bound by so many layers of material condition. Bhagavatam says, vidyate hridaya grantish, that we must untie our hearts from these tight ropes that are binding it. And what are these ropes that are binding our heart? The ropes of all of our ideas to find happiness in this temporary world. I want this. I desire this. I need this. We are thinking that our desires and our ideas for enjoyment are our friends. But actually, they are our greatest enemies. All our desires, all of our conceptions to want something for material enjoyment is what's keeping us bound to the sufferings of the world. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us that the desires born of the senses and their objects are the sources of misery, because they are temporary. They cannot satisfy the real needs of the heart. Ropes are used to bind a person. Our heart is bound by hundreds and thousands of knotted ropes. And unfortunately, people are conditioned to try to find happiness by getting more ropes and tying more knots around their hearts, rather than trying to somehow or other loosen and release our hearts from these ropes. That is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. One sees I'm trapped, and he's trying to get out by tying more ropes and further entrapping him or herself. And the other understands, I have to get out. What is the process? What is the means by which I could loosen these ropes and free my heart? The first rope is that of action or karma. We have our gross senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the flesh. And we're looking for satisfaction by activating our senses in such a way that they will facilitate sensual enjoyment. But with every action, there's an equal corresponding reaction. So we become implicated in the intricate laws of karma. Birth after birth after birth. Abrama bhuvana loka punaravartanojana mamupetyat kunteya punarajanma navidyate. Krishna tells us in Sri Bhagavad Gita that through our various karmic activities we can be elevated to the higher planets, or in sinful activities we are degraded to lower planets. But they're all places of death. The actions are temporary, and the results of the actions are temporary. When we perform good work, we get good reactions, then we become attached to those good reactions, and then they vanish, and we suffer. We attain bad work and we're in a suffering condition and we're just looking for relief. But usually what people do in their suffering condition is they try to get out by performing other sinful activities and further incrimination. Through the process of karma kanda, we try to elevate our consciousness to higher modes of material nature through good works. A higher layer of covering of ropes around our hearts is the ropes of knowledge, the subtle platform. The worst enemy to the subtle body is doubt. Krishna tells us in Gita, for the doubting soul, there is neither happiness in this world or the next. Many religious people in this world, Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, they profess their religion with lip service. They identify themselves with a particular social community of people in the name of a religion. They identify their religion on the basis of their family association. But actual spirituality is based on the deep-seated faith of the heart and how that faith activates us in everything we speak, in everything we do, in pursuance of the goal of our spiritual path. As we make progress in Krishna consciousness, we find various layers of tight knots that we have to untie. Various planes of consciousness within this material existence. There is Bhuloka, Bhuvaloka, Swargaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. All subtler and subtler and subtler planes of higher and higher and higher consciousness. And subtler than even Brahmaloka or Satyaloka is when we cross over the Viraja, the border of material and spiritual existence, and enter into the Brahmaloka or Brahmajyoti. There we are in a state of eternal consciousness, realization of Sat, the eternal nature of the soul. However, in that state of eternal consciousness, there is still incomplete development, because the soul is longing for ananda, ecstasy. Through the path of devotional service, we can be elevated to the Vaikuntha planets. And when we engage in the path of pure devotional service, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can enter into the highest realm of spiritual consciousness, the eternal home of Vrindavan. This material world, everything is based on perceptions. The path of bhakti is to see everything at all times in all places as the means to enter into this state of pure consciousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us how to do this in this beautiful song, to see everything in relationship to Krishna. What does it actually mean to see everything in relationship to Krishna? It is not simply a sentimental or emotional state. It is a reality. People could say, yes, I see Krishna everywhere. But what does that mean? If you actually see Krishna everywhere, then everything you see, everyone you see, at every moment, you're thinking of how to utilize this particular situation that you're in for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's service. To see Krishna everywhere means to see service everywhere. To see Krishna in everything means to see service in everything. A way to utilize his energies for his pleasure. So bhakti is not just a theoretical conceptualization to talk about. Bhakti is a living truth. The art of living is actually, according to Gita, Bhagavata, and the Vedic scriptures, how to see our relationship as the eternal servant of God at every place, in every circumstance of life, and express our love in that situation. Devotee asks Srila Prabhupada, how do I see you everywhere? How do I see Krishna everywhere? That's what, how do I see Krishna everywhere? Prabhupada turned to his spectacles. He said, when you see these spectacles, what do you think? And the devotee said, I see that they are my Guru Maharaj's spectacles. He said, that is how. Everything in creation belongs to Krishna. When we see that this is Krishna's, how does Krishna want it to be utilized? That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna tells us in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Love is based on relationship. We should be aspiring to live according to our relationship with Krishna. And that is service. We are traveling birth after birth after birth. And each lifetime is like another hostel that the soul temporarily resides in this long journey. But when you're traveling, some of you people are businessmen and you travel around the world, hotel after hotel, hostel after hostel. But ultimately, you're just waiting to come home. At least you're supposed to be waiting to come home. Where you can be with your family. Where you can be yourself, who you are. Srila Prabhupada quoting from previous acharyas, told us that Krishna consciousness is the path back home, back to Godhead. Our real home. Home where we are who we are once again. When all the knots of the heart are released, when all the fog and the mists of doubt is dissipated, then we can experience that home which is within our own hearts. Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition of the mind. It is the original, natural consciousness of every living being. Prabhupada explained that water, when it is polluted, the pollution is not the water. Water, in essence, is always pure. Water is water. The pollutants are separate matters that are just mixed within the water in such a way that we cannot appreciate the original quality of water. If you put mud in water, it appears brown. There's no transparency. In the world we live in today, people are competing to get more and more and more pollutants, more and more mud in the water. It's actually fashionable to make that water of your consciousness as black as possible. Isn't that what Hollywood and Bollywood is about? It's fashionable to be drinking, to be having affairs, to be doing all these things. And people are very much influenced by this type of consciousness. These are the heroes of today. The people who are most demonstrating their intense conviction that they are Purusha, that they are predominators. Mr. Sharma, Hare Krishna. My great pleasure to see you after a long time. It's one of the greatest artists in all the world, Mr. Indra Sharma, has joined us today. Thank you for coming. It is not only men, but even ladies in today's world. Everyone is competing to become predominators, enjoyers, controllers, shaktimans, purushas. And the result is further incrimination and entanglement in the laws of nature. And to actually take our natural position. We're not talking about sex. We're talking about the female principle of being enjoyed. But in today's world, this is a very unpopular conception. In fact, it's a sign of weakness to be dependent on someone. This is one of the great goals in people's lives and matter in this society today, to be independent.
We want our nations to be independent. We want our families to be independent. Each member of the family wants to be independent. Yes?
But actually, we are eternally depending on Krishna at all times.
Try to be independent of the air, independent of the rain, independent of the sun, independent of the unlimited gifts of God that He provides for our survival at every second. You cannot be independent. The fact is, we are eternally dependent on the mercy of the Lord.
The beginning of knowledge is to understand that, to accept that, and to live in harmony with that principle. In 1976, in the United States of America, it was the 200th year of America's independence away from Britain. And there was, for actually several years, there was preparations to celebrate this, what is it, bicentennial Independence Day. And Srila Prabhupada, he was in America at that time, and he told the devotees, we should declare our dependence on God. There was the Declaration of Independence. We had to memorize part of that when we were little boys in school. Very important. This is part of the process of conditioning. You have to study the Declaration of Independence and memorize sections of the Declaration of Independence. But Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is Vedavyasa's declaration of dependence on Krishna. When you completely depend on Krishna, you are independent. You are independent of the forces and the inflictions of material energy. There are so many subject matters that people study. But what is that subject? What is that goal that will actually include everything else? The way the world is today, there's problems. And if you want to solve this A problem, then you must go to B. And if then there's another problem, so you go to C. And then you go all the way to Z, and then you start again with A. And you just keep going through the alphabet of problems. But our holy scriptures and saintly people are teaching that there's one solution to all problems. And that's to realize that we are completely dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord and to live in harmony with the will of the Supreme Lord. To know God, to love God. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that the simple process by which we can awaken that consciousness of Krishna, who is the supreme, ultimate source of all beauty, comes through the chanting of the holy names. In this world, sometimes we find that people are conquered by strength
or conquered by people with great wealth. But one of the greatest of all conquerors in this world is beauty. We see in histories, even great military kings who subdue many nations with their armies, with their strength, they are conquered by the beautiful manifestations of material energy. Maybe it is the opposite sex. Maybe it is some beautiful possession. Conquered. It is the eternal nature of the soul to be conquered by beauty. Krishna is the supreme source of all beauty. As we purify our hearts and disentangle it from the network of material bondage, we become more and more and more attracted to the beauty of Krishna. And that beauty is supremely intoxicating. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us in his Shikshastakam, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrapitan Yamita, that the Supreme Lord has descended within his name and he has invested his beauty, his opulence, his strength. He has endowed his name with all spiritual potencies. He is none different than his name. But Lord Chaitanya prays that even though Krishna is so merciful, so gracious, so accommodating, that he has given himself, he has given all opportunities and facilities for eternal life of bliss and knowledge in his name. But I have no attraction for it. That is our condition. We should feel unlimitedly grateful. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. We should feel unlimitedly grateful for this inconceivable mercy that the Lord has come into this world and made himself so accessible to us. By the mercy of the Lord's agents, the sadhus, the sincere devotees, they invoke within our hearts that eagerness that I want to go home. I understand what my real ideal shall be. I will long for that. I will strive for that. And with humility, we chant the holy names. If we think we are qualified, that in and of itself is a great disqualification. But if we chant the holy names in a spirit of helpless dependence on the mercy of the Lord, with prayer for the mercy of the Lord's devotees, then very quickly the holy name purifies our hearts, and we realize the supreme treasure. of pure spiritual love.
And then we can see the beautiful form of Sri Radha Gopinath, always within the very core of our hearts, and worship them and love them there forever. So tonight, we have come together to be enjoyed by Sri Radha Gopinath. We have come together to place our hearts at their lotus feet. We have come together to give them pleasure. When the root of the tree is watered, every leaf, branch, and twig is satisfied. This is our real happiness. And we learn the most effective way of watering the root of the tree of all existence, the most effective way of purifying our minds and hearts through pleasing Radha Gopinath, is hearing their glories. Pariprashna Seva. Submitting ourselves, inquiring with humility, and rendering seva, or service. Then we are in a proper disposition. To actually allow the pure nectaring water that has descended from the spiritual world in the form of the holy name to water the root of all existence, Sri Radha Krishna, by our sincere chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please everyone turn to the altar as we chant together. One contemplation on New Year's Eve. Is that another year of life has passed? How have we utilized this past year? What lessons have we learned? And what is our resolve, our determination of how to spend the coming years of life? When a year passes, that span of our life is gone forever. Ayur Harati Vai Pung Sang. We are one day closer to death. But for those who utilize their time in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, with every year. We are 1 year closer to eternal life in the spiritual world within our hearts. Neha bhikkhumana sosti pratyabhayon vidyate. Gita tells us that any effort in his loving service is never lost. On this New Year's Eve, let us make resolutions before the beautiful form of the Lord. To utilize our every breath to please him, to serve him, and to share his mercy with others. In this spirit, let us very sincerely and loudly chant his holy names.